Probably about 5-6 weeks ago, I was working out of town with a friend of mine, and we were working on a job. And actually, I'll backtrack a little bit further. We were actually on a job months ago. This was like last year. And we got talking one night. We were, you know, like I said, we were out of town for a while. And he started talking to me about running and how he was getting into running lately, and sharing, you know, some of the breakthroughs he had with that. And, you know, at first, when he first started running, he had a lot of shortness of breath, and it was really tough, and but he got through it. And he didn't start running until later in his life. And it was really inspiring listening to him. He was talking about just the, for instance, the sound of the wind kind of brushing past his ears, and how that, you know, he doesn't like to run with headphones in or whatever. He likes to hear that sound. You know, once you get to a certain speed, he's there. And it was almost like a spiritual experience the way he was describing it to me. I thought, this is really interesting. My memories of running when I was younger were not great. I remember being in track and field and just trying my hardest, you know, the 50-yard, the 100-yard. I lost them all, right? So I just never was into it. But he actually talked me into running with him the next morning. And so here we are, we're on this job. We got up a little bit earlier, and we get out to run, and I got jeans with me, right? Because that's all I got. I didn't come to run. And I got an old pair of work shoes. And so there we go. We get out running, and he had a little route mapped out on his phone with the little Map My Run or whatever it was, and mapped out this route for us. And he just said, okay, we're just going to give this a try. And if you start to get too tired, don't sweat it. Just slow down. We'll break into a walk. And then, you know, once you regain your energy, we'll run again. So that's what we did. And I couldn't believe it, but we actually ended up running about, I think it was about 1.5 kilometers we ended up doing. And I was blown away. I thought, man, this, you know, I mean, it didn't feel great. It was tough. I mean, I got to be honest, right? it was the first, I think the first part of the run we did, we were actually going up a hill. And I thought, oh boy, I don't know how this is going to go. But then that leveled out and it kind of went downhill, and then made it, before you knew it, we did 1.5 kilometers. So I was pretty stoked about that, and, you know, a little bit sore. But the next day we ran again, and I think we actually pulled off 2 kilometers. So, hey, this is pretty cool, man. I don't think I've ever done that before. Then I needed a break. My body was pretty sore after that. So I was really excited about running, and then I did absolutely nothing with it for the next 5 months. So we ended up working out of town again. Same guy, same friend. And how's that running going? It's not. Haven't done any. So then he blew me away. He actually pulled out a pair of running shoes. He knew I was a size 9. They were perfect size. I put them on. And they were, I would have never bought a pair of shoes like that, right? And I tried them on, and he says, okay, now you got to run. So I thought, okay, and I kind of took it as a God thing too. I thought, okay, God, like this, my friend really wants me to run. I'm curious about running, so okay, I guess we got to commit to this. So we went out to the Walmart or whatever that night, and I bought some better pants and stuff. And then the next day we went for a run, and I think I ran about 2 kilometers. And, you know, I just kept with it. 2 kilometers turned into 3. 3 went to 4. And before you know it, I was running 5 kilometers, right? I thought I was pretty stoked, man. After only about 10 days, I think, of training, I was up to 5 kilometers. And that's how I started running. So it's been about 6 or 7 weeks now. And the really cool part about it is I'm looking in the Bible, and I'm learning that there's a lot of parallels with running. And I've been talking to a lot of people too. Like, I've been learning there's other runners here in the church, right? And I have other friends that, like Joe, for instance. I had no idea that Joe ran, and he told me he does like 20-kilometer runs. I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So last Sunday, Joe and I actually ran down the Canyon View Trail. We did about 6.5 kilometers, and that was really cool. So in the Bible, I base this message mostly on 2 passages of Scripture. The first one is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll just read that out here. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And then the second one is in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So run to win. That's what popped out to me in that statement. And I've boiled it down to four things, four key areas that will give us, that'll get us into the running zone, the winning zone with God. First one is I want to go back to that passage there in Hebrews 12:1 where it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So how does this relate to our life with God? Well, it means we should remove everything from our life that would slow us down in our goal to run for God. When a runner competes in an actual race, they run as light as possible. Sorry, I got my pages a bit mixed up here. But you can't run well with a pair of jeans on, okay? I've tried that. It doesn't work. It's not fun. In fact, during the time when this was written by the Apostle Paul, the competing athletes, because they actually had the Olympics back then, Corinth had their own version of that. Every 2 years, they had like a major games, and the competing athletes actually ran naked, okay, like they ran with no clothes on. Look it up. Well, you don't have to do that. But I was surprised. I thought, man, it's one thing to get into running, but if my friend asked me, hey, we're gonna go running naked, I'd be like, ah, no, you're running on your own, man. But anyway, the point is that they stripped off everything. Like, they didn't have the Nike gear and the, the Under Armour and all the fancy stuff we have. Like, they ran barefoot and they ran naked because that was the lightest possible way that you could run. You could go the furthest. If you're going to go for gold, you're going to take it seriously and go as light as possible. So the analogy, the parallel I kind of pull from that is we need to simplify our lives. If we're going to be serious about running with God, we need to lighten our load. We need to let some things go. We got to run unhindered. And you can't run with a ball and chain attached to you. It's just not going to work. It's going to be tough. But the reality is a lot of us are, walking or running with God in such a way that we're dragging stuff with us. There's things that slow us down. So I call the first key area running light. We're on slide number 6 here. And the first thing that can hinder us with that is unhealthy relationships. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You want to be wise? Hang out with wise guys. We could replace that with run. He who runs with wise men will be wise. But if you hang out with fools, you're going to suffer harm. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you in your run with God. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another. We got to choose our company carefully if we want to run well. You got to hang out with runners. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm hanging out with runners. It's a lot of fun. It's the same when you're running with God. You want to hang out with trained, seasoned, tried and true runners for God. So, second thing that can hinder our run with God is materialism. And this is not an exhaustive list. I just picked three things that I think are pretty major Maybe one or two of them will speak to you. Materialism. So let's read that definition. I pulled this up in the dictionary, and I thought it was really good. It's a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. So it's okay to have stuff, right? But it's when we place that more important than our spiritual values, we put more importance on that than our relationship with God. It's called materialism. And it's going to slow you down. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." If we try to live beyond our means, if we try to keep up with the Joneses, you know, often we make decisions that these things add weight to our lives, right? Debt that's out of control, financial commitments keep us stuck for years to come. Charging our cards, maybe, and sometimes the best decision is to just wait, you know, or sometimes you don't even end up buying it at all, right? You just think, oh, do I really need that? And not really. You know, all these things, if they're not kept in check, they drag us down in our run with God. Is there anything wrong with having these things? No, there's nothing wrong with having things. I mean, we lived in a blessed country, right, where we can work hard, make money, buy stuff. It's great, right? But just like the definition shows, right, it's when we place a higher value on that than our walk with God, then we got trouble, right? Doesn't mean you're going to hell. Doesn't mean you're whatever. It's going to slow you down. It's going to be hard to run. It's all a matter of where your focus is. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." We're in a race. And the finish line on earth is the beginning of eternity. You can't take any of it with you. So there's no point getting hung up on it. So let's jump to number three, running light. Bad habits and addictions. Okay, any decent runner, I'm just going to grab a glass of water here. Any decent runner knows you need to ingest clean food and water if you're going to run well. So what do you do before a run? Okay, so when I'm running, I take little to nothing, really. I'll drink some water. Maybe have something light, like a bit of yogurt or a banana or something like that. I'm not doing really huge runs at this point, so I just keep it light. But just to say this happened, okay? I'm going to go for a run. Joe calls me up and says, "Hey, let's go for a run, Mark. Let's do the Canyon View Trail again." Okay, I'll meet you there Saturday, 1 o'clock. Okay, perfect. Let's go do it. So Saturday comes around. It's noon. I'm feeling kind of hungry. Now, I think I'll go hit the McDonald's, right? So there's my first mistake right there, right? So pull in the McDonald's and, oh, look at that, man, those beautiful pictures, that Big Mac with a, ooh, yeah, okay, I'm going to take the double Big Mac, throw in the supersized fry with that, and, yeah, the huge pop, you know, the one bigger than my head, yeah, that one, I'll take that with it, a Coke, and, let's go with the poutine option on the fries, throw that on there, and, you know, just in case that's not enough, let's throw in an apple turnover. Okay, cool. So then we head out. I go to my favorite spot on the spit, you know, where I eat all my junk food. That's true, by the way. So I go out there and wolf it all down. And, oh, man, whew, that was some meal. And look in the bag. Oh, right, the apple turnover. Well, I can't let that go to waste. You know, it's warm still. And, you know, it's not going to be the same later if I leave it, right? So, okay, let's chow that down. And, oh, holy smokes, I got to run in 10 minutes. I got to meet Joe. Okay, here we go, right? Head out and put my shoes on and, oh, wow, my guts are pretty full, man. And okay, here we go. Oh, man, okay, 1 kilometer into it. Okay, this thing going so hot. Joe, you just keep going, Joe. I'll catch up. We're done. I'm not going to run well like that, right? But, you know, the reality is that's what some of us are doing with our spiritual walk. We're shoving all kinds of crap. I mean, like, there's so much garbage out there going for our attention. The crap on TV, there's internet pornography. It's, you know, and I'm sorry, but it's true. But, like, the kids growing up and playing countless hours of violent video games, feeding this in your mind over and over, right? It's like, I mean, basically we're immersed in a culture that's just serve yourself, godless, do whatever feels right kind of culture. And we're immersed in it. It's do what feels good, right? All these things have a certain appeal to them. And, you know, there's a reason why it's so pervasive in our time, because a lot of it feels good. But, you know, the reality is it becomes a poison to our souls. It literally poisons you. You know, just like the Big Mac with the extra this and extra that and whatever. There's some sort of appeal to it, but in the end, it's hurting you. And, you know, a poisoned mind and body can't run well for God. They're not going to run well. You know, you'll have a hard time even making it out onto the track, really. So let's look at another scripture here. It's Ephesians 4:22-24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, we're encouraged to put it away. Our deceitful desires, corrupt. That's a reality. You know, you may not fully realize that, but there's a part of us that wants to default to the wrong thing. It's just part of the human condition. And it's part of why we need Jesus. We need him to help him to renew our minds, to get us on the right track. To say, you know what, that might feel good in the moment. That's going to hurt me in the end. So, you know what? I'm going to say no to that so that I can do the right thing over here. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You know, when I was running with my jeans on, it was a lot harder to run. I think this is a good analogy for our spiritual life with God. You know, in our life there can be habits, poor relationships, obsessions, things we hang on to. Things that make it almost impossible to run with God. I have a question for you. What's making it hard for you to run in your life with God? Maybe it's a bad relationship. Maybe it's excessive debt. Maybe it's an addiction you can't shake off. You know, the Bible says to rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. Or I like how the NIV puts it, strip off every weight that slows us down. You throw on the baggage of debt, materialism, gambling, addiction, pick your poison, whatever it is. It might even look good on the outside. It could be a successful career. But it just takes up all your time, right? It could be a business, perhaps, that consumes all of your focus. And this is me sometimes. If it's not in balance, it's going to slow you down. So we want to run light. So key area number 2, find your stride. This one I really like, and this was something actually my friend helped me find too. And You know, when I first started running, I learned the importance of finding your stride. You know, when we'd get out there running, and what would happen is I'd have a tendency to match his footsteps, right, on the first couple of runs we did. You know, he's coaching me, he's running next to me, and it's kind of like, okay, I'm looking at what he's doing and whatever, and I just noticed that I would tend to just follow his stride, right? And after a couple of runs, two, three runs, basically my assignment was, okay, you need to go out and run out on your own now. You need to find your stride, right? And I thought, that's really interesting. You're going to find my stride. And what I learned is that everybody does have a different stride when you're running. It's simply because all of our bodies are different leg length, different just the way that you're designed, the way that you're built, right? And so it's not until you go out running on your own that you can discover that. And so basically what your stride is, it's simply, all it is say, from the moment that my left heel touches down, and then I run to my right foot, and then come back down on my left heel. That length and time is your stride. Everybody's is different. So your step length is going to vary the amount of time it takes to actually go through those steps. You know, even identical twins actually won't even have an exact stride because you factor in the motivational factors and psychological factors, like it ends up being a little bit different. So the only way you find that is to run on your own. And I went running on my own, and I found after a couple of kilometers it was kind of cool. My step, I noticed I was taking a little bit of a bigger step, and there was a certain rhythm, and I would exhale three strides, inhale three strides, exhale three strides, and I actually got into a rhythm with it. And so how do I parallel that with our life with God? Well, the giftings you have, the way God made you, right? Those unique things about your personality. There's no one person is the same. It's like the old analogy with snowflakes, right? There's trillions and probably quadrillions of snowflakes, and there's not one that is exactly the same. It's just utterly amazing when you think about it. You know, they all look similar, and they're all, you know, white, made of snow, whatever, right? Just similar patterns, but not one is identical. And it's the same with us. Not one of us are identical. You know, the things that you're good at, the things that you have a knack for, right? You know how we have a knack for something? And the only way you discover that is by stepping out. The only way I'm going to discover if I can even preach is by trying it, right? You know, that's the way it works. And every person has to find their own stride. Let's just back this up with a little bit of scripture. So Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." And I love those words where King David says, "How well I know it." I look at that, I think this is a guy that knew his stride. He knew his place with God. He knew his value with God. He knew what God had destined him for. Isaiah 64:8 says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand." You're unique. You uniquely reflect God to others in a way that nobody else can. There's a way that you say it. There's a way that you do it. There's a way you reach out to someone. There's a way that you know, God just lands you in these situations. You're the only person that can fulfill that. So be the best version of you. That's my other thing I like lately. So there's our, we've covered the two there. You want to strip off every weight, lighten up. We want to find our stride. Number three, we want to pace yourself. Pace yourself. Very important with running. My first couple of runs, I was trying really hard. You know, you want to give it your best shot. You want to, well, put your best foot forward. I come up with these stupid puns. But I wanted to put some effort into it, right? I was zealous, but you know, as a result, you start running out of gas pretty quick, right? And before you know it, you're panting, you're wheezing, man. You're like, ooh, this is tough. And needless to say, I learned that I needed to pace myself. If I'm going to run to win, I need to run with the whole race in mind. I need to push myself, but I also must pace myself. And I learned that when I'm struggling for air, all I need to do is slow down a little. Just allow my body to take in more oxygen. And that's what my friend taught me, right? Like, if you're getting really tired, just slow down a little. It's not a big deal. Don't give up. Don't stop running. Don't say, this is not for me. Slow down a little. Let the oxygen come. And what happens is strength starts to return to your muscles. And I discovered I could run a lot further. So sometimes in our pursuits to live for God, we expend unnecessary energy. We're pushing ourselves too hard. We mean well, but if we're not careful, we can burn ourselves out. When this starts to happen, okay, the answer is not to stop running entirely. It's slow down. Take a rest. Let the breath of God fill your lungs. So how do we do that? Take time to pray. Read the Bible. Spend time with fellow believers. Get into a small group. I highly recommend that. You know, if you're not in a group, get into a group of believers where you can talk, where you can pray about things, share things. Man, I had a tough week. I need some prayer. Allow yourself to be rejuvenated. You want to pace yourself so that you can complete the race before you. You want to run with the whole race in mind. Mark 6:31 says, "Then Jesus said, 'Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while.' He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat." This is scripture, it just jumped out at me, and it just gave me a snapshot. Like, these guys were busy, man. Like, can you imagine? Jesus, like, when he's on the run, he's running. And they're so busy, they don't even have time to eat. You ever feel like that? You know, even the Son of God had to take time to pace himself. Slow down. Spend some time with his father. You know, in fact, he spent a lot of time with his father. But when he ran extremely well. There's a balance between what you take on and the time you take off. All of us at some point come to the end of our strength, and when we do, we need to recharge our spiritual batteries. If we don't, we burn out. Rest is important. On the other side of it, you're going to run with renewed energy. You're going to run well. And just to tie that back in with running, I actually discovered that, and another runner taught me this, but, you know, I was like, my big thing was like, oh, I got to run straight, right? I got to run, oh, I'm going to do 5 kilometers straight without stopping. Like, that's my goal, right? And it's just like this grueling, and I, you know, I did it, but what he actually taught me was that his method was run 5 minutes, walk for a minute. Run 5 minutes, walk for a minute. So I did that. I tried that. And I actually ran 5 kilometers faster that way than when I was running straight through. Blew me away. But it's like that with our walk with God. I think there's a rhythm that we find. We're stretched. We push ourselves, right? But we need to find those breaks in between. And in the end, you'll actually run further. Let's look at that passage again in Hebrews 12:1-2. and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Sorry, Paul, I think I might have skipped a page on that one. Slide 23, let's go to Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I love that. There's their running right there. They'll run and not grow weary. So let's jump into key area number 4. How do we run to win? We fix our eyes on the goal. This is my favorite one. We fix our eyes on the goal. You know, that's the fourth thing I learned. And with running, it's important to set a goal for yourself. The goal pulls you forward. It excites you. It challenges you. It causes you to dig a little deeper. And I remember running that first 5K that I told you about without stopping. It really felt good. I mean, it was tough, but to reach that goal felt good. And it wasn't long until I wanted to set a new goal. I wanted to set a higher goal. But, I mean, I'll be honest. When I first started running, it didn't feel that great. New aches and pains that I didn't have before. For a little while, I had this weird kind of back pain. Like, I couldn't really, it's like, what the heck is that? Shortness of breath, all that stuff. And, okay, now we're at that scripture. So Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And there's something else really cool that I learned recently, and that's in a dog obedience training, okay, with dogs. So when they're training a dog to obey its master, they put a dog on one end of the room, and then the master stands at the other end of the room, and then they have a plate of food in between them. So the master then calls the dog. So as soon as the dog looks at the food, it's done. It's over, right? The dog's just going to go straight for the food. So what they train the dog to do is to look at the eyes of the master. If he keeps his eyes locked on the master, and then the master calls him, the dog comes straight over and just goes right by the food. So any serious athlete knows the power of focus. Okay, when you focus on a goal, you'll be guided towards it. You not only push yourself, but in a sense, it's like you're pulled towards it. And the power of a pull is always greater motivation than the power of a push. You know, nobody likes to be pushed into something. Do you like it when somebody pushes you into something? I don't. It doesn't feel good. And to me, that's what religion does, right? Religion's a push. It's like, oh, you should do this. You have to do this. You should be praying more. You should be coming to church more. You should be blah, 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 put whatever you want to put on your list there. But the power of a pull is so much stronger. And For us, it's focusing on Jesus. If we look at John 12:32, Jesus says, this is Jesus talking, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. It's the power of a pull. Our focus is on him. When we focus on him, it pulls us further. We all know that story about Peter when he got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus. Let's look at that one. Matthew 14:26-28 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. You know, Peter was filled with a longing to be close to Jesus. He focused on Jesus. You know, suddenly this wasn't a man clinging to a boat with a bunch of fearful guys hanging on to their lives, because we know in that scripture it was wavy, it was rough, right? He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." He was drawn to Jesus, so much so that his focus no longer acknowledged the raging sea around him. And in a breakthrough moment, he's walking towards Jesus. He's walking on water. We focus on the eternal. We fix our eyes on the one that we will spend eternity with, knowing that the run of our lives leads to the finish line that will take us into eternity. He is our goal. Jesus is our goal. So why is fixing our eyes on the goal so important? Because it's going to get hard. You're going to have moments when you want to give up. It's just tough, right? You know, if we look to Jesus as our example, I can think of no better example. Looking back at Hebrews 12:2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And this is the last thought I'd like to leave us with, that there is hope. Because, I mean, let's face it, right? Not all of us have ran a perfect run. Most of us have had our share of circumstances where we've failed in some way. Even the Apostle Paul, he started on his path by killing Christians, okay? And this is the guy that wrote about running the race. The point is this: you can finish well. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't even matter what you're struggling with right now. You can throw it off. You can shed off those weights. You can find your stride. You can find your place with God. You don't have to feel lost. You can pace yourself. God wants to be your coach. He's our coach. You know, I believe the fact that you're here this morning tells me that you haven't stopped running. You may have stumbled in the past, but, you may even have stumbled this morning. I don't know, maybe you did something really stupid this morning. But you're here, right? We absolutely qualify to run, even with our weaknesses. There's only one requirement. Have you made Jesus your Savior? Is he the champion of your soul? Are your eyes fixed on him? We can be assured that God will supply us the necessary strength and endurance to run his race. If you've accepted Jesus, then he has placed you in this race. We have the promise that when you're weak, the power of Christ rests upon you. We don't run this race relying on our own strength. We run with the power of Christ within us. And when we finish the finish line at the end of our lives, may we be able to say the same words that the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. And I'll just close in prayer here, if you want to bow your heads with me. God, Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you've placed us in this race for all those that have accepted you. And God, if there's anyone here that they're not sure if they're running for you, they're not sure if they've made you their Savior, I pray that they would, God. I pray that they would put their trust in you. And Lord, I just pray that if there's any one of us here that are carrying burdens that are too heavy for us, we're carrying things that are slowing us down, weighting us down. You know, maybe there's some sin that you're hanging on to, some, you know, something you're struggling with. Maybe something we've shared here today, touched on something. I pray, God, that they would be able to shed that and to give it to you and to surrender it, God, so that they could run light. They could run unhindered. And God, I pray if there's anyone here that hasn't found their stride, they don't know where they fit in. They don't know, you know, that's so-and-so. That's not for me. And you know, they're gifted at that, but I don't know what I'm good at. God, I pray that, Lord, that we would find our stride, that person would find their stride. They would find their rhythm with you. They would find that place, that they would fulfill that role that only they can fulfill, God. You have a place for every one of your children. Thank you, Lord. And God, Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here maybe that maybe they've really given themselves completely, they've pushed themselves hard, they've come up, you know, it feels like maybe they just came up against a wall, and that's it, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. God, I pray that they would find rest. That they would learn the secret of pacing themselves with you, God. That they would find rest for their souls, just like you did, Jesus. That they would find that place where they can be refreshed, renewed. And God, my last prayer for all of us is that we would all fix our eyes on you. God, that you would be our inspiration. You would be our coach. Lord, that you would whisper into our ear and say, you can do it. Run. Run for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.